today's daf is Nun Gimel. We're going to start at Tanu Rabbanan, three lines after the wide lines on Nun Bet Amud Bet. Okay, right, that's where we ended?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Today's shiur is particularly Loi Nishmat Itabela Bat Binyamin, and a regular Fuach Lemot, Lidvar Batino, as Avram Shimon Ben Chana, where the Pinya Baracha Frida Chai, Malka Esther Bat Zipporah, Yosef Ben Rachel, Leah Bat Rivka, Yalmir Mat Chai, Rina Chai Bat Shoshani, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Daphna Chai Bat Sara, Tali Racha Bat Tamar Sara, and Loi Nishmat Chana Bat Atar, Reza Bat Sara, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov Halevi Umela. Okay, we have an interesting story now. If you remember, we were in the middle of the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to get into more details today. Let's just review the Mishnah before we start today, and then we'll move on. HaMekadesh b'chalko, bein kodshe kodshim, bein kodshim kalim, ena mekudeshet. If he is Mekadesh from his portion, we talked about this at the end of the shiur yesterday. The Gemara explained that it was talking about after we do the shechita, a korban or something, after, at that stage. And then the Kohen, let's say, takes his part of the korban that he's supposed to eat. Whether it's kodshim, kodshe kodshim, o kodshim kalim, and he gives it to the woman. So according to the Tanakhama, ena mekudeshet. Okay, he's not allowed to do this. Then we get to Maser Sheni. Bain Shoge, Bain Mezi, Loki De Shiva Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says also Master Shani is considered, we'll see this later, it's considered Mamon Gavoa. It's the Mamon of God. And therefore, right, even though you eat it yourself, what are you supposed to do with Master Shani? You bring it to the Yerushalayim, you do it on years 1, 2, 4, and 5. Right, with the other years, it's Master Ani, except for Shemitah, where there is none at all. And you bring it, you're supposed to eat it in Yerushalayim. So they say, according to Rabbi Meir, whether you use this l'kadesh b'shogeg because you didn't realize it was Maser Sheni, or you did it b'mezid, it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shogeg lo kidesh, but b'mezid kidesh. Doesn't work b'shogeg, it works b'mezid. We're going to see. Okay, his answer is based on the fact that it's mamon hedyot. Since you eat it yourself, even though you have to bring it to Yerushalayim, it's considered your mamon. Therefore, you can marry a woman with it. However, he has an issue with the shogeg. We'll get to it later. And then we get to Hekdesh. Hekdesh, b'mezi kidesh, b'shogeg lo kidesh, Shiva Rabbi Meir. Here the Shitota flipped. When it comes to Hekdesh, and we'll see the answers later why this is, Rabbi Meir says that in Hekdesh, b'mezid it's kidesh, shogeg lo kidesh, and Rabbi Yehuda says if you did it by accident, then it works, kidesh, but if you did it on purpose, it doesn't work. Okay, the opposite of what he said in the other case, and we'll see why soon. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. The Braita starts off here, and it gives a story. Lachar p'tirato shel Rabbi Meir, amar lahem Rabbi Yehuda l'tamidav, al yikansu tamidei Rabbi Meir l'kan, mipnei shekantranim hem, v'lo l'mod torahim ba'im, ela l'kabcheni b'halachot hem ba'im. We saw this, very good. We saw this in, I think it was Nidarim, in Nazir. We saw this in Nazir, okay, it was actually about the Nazir, okay, there was an issue there with the Nazir, and it was the exact same thing, which is Rabbi Meir dies and Rabbi Yehuda says, please, I don't want any students of Rabbi Meir coming in here because they're just going to try to, you know, argue with me. And they're just being argumentative and I don't want to have any of it. Despite the fact that he says this, right? It's like when you say, don't think of pink elephants. Everybody thinks of pink elephants. You know, don't come into my thing. This is what happens. Dachak sumchus v'nichnas, by the way, in Nazir was the exact same thing. Sumchus, one of the big talmidim of Rabbi Meir, by the way. So Sumchus is famous for a few statements. One of them is Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya, which we all know, right? That when, if you want to make a claim, you have to, if you want to take money out of someone's hands, you're the one who the burden of proof lies on you. And Mamon Mutab Safek Cholkin. Those are two very famous things. We'll get to them in the Bavas. We'll see them a lot. He's famous for those. So anyway, Sumchus comes in, same student as last time. Ve'amar lahem, kach shinali Rabbi Meir. By the way, this wasn't the same halacha that he came in on the last time, right? Last time it was a Nazir-related halacha. Here he comes in and he says, kach shinali Rabbi Meir, ha-mekadesh b'chalko, ben kodshe kodshim u-ben kodshe kalim, lo kidesh. Okay, which is exactly our Mishnah. Remember, Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir? So he basically teaches our Mishnah. He goes into Rabbi Yehuda's Beit Midrash and says, if you're you're Mekadesh with your Chelek of the Kodshim Kodshim or the Kodshim Kalim Lokidesh, Ka'as Rabbi Yehuda Alehem, okay, interesting, it's really on him, on Sumchus, but I guess he categorizes him with all the students and says, see, all those students I told you, Amar Alehem, לא כך אמרתי לכם, אל ייכנסו מתלמידי רבי מאיר לכאן, מפני שקנטרנים הם, ולא ללמוד תוריים באים, אלא לקבחני בהלכות הם באים. Right? Didn't I tell you so? Okay? Now, what's his question? What's his problem with the shita? Now, what happens with kochi kochim? You remember the halachot of kochi kochim? You have to eat them in the azara. Okay? They can't, forget about eat them, they can't leave the azara, kochi kochim. So how could you possibly, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, what kind of ridiculous halacha is this? The kochi kochim, you can marry a woman? V'chi isha v'azara minayin? Okay, there's two ways of understanding this. One opinion is that a woman is usher, forbidden for her to go into the azara. Others say it's not that it's actually forbidden, but what would a woman be doing in there? And not only what would she be doing, but what would she be doing getting married in there? In other words, what kind of person goes into the azara to go get married? That's inappropriate. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yossi. So now this is Rabbi Yossi's response, which happened also in the last case. Yomru, they're going to say, Meir Shachav, Rabbi Meir died, Yehuda Ka'as, Rabbi Yehuda got angry, Yossi Shatak. And Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything. Divrei Torah Matei Alea. If we do, right, and if I just keep quiet, what's going to happen with the Divrei Torah? V'chi ein adam asur lekabel kiddushin lebito ba'azara? Ve'ein isha asuya la'ashot la'shaliach lekabel kiddushiha ba'azara? Ve'or dachaka v'nechnesa amai. He says there's three possible situations that actually could happen where a woman would get married in the Azara. Number one, her father could do it for her. If you're going to say women can't go into the Azara, well, maybe the father did it. Or she could send a male shaliach to take care of it. Alternatively, what if she pushed her way in, went into the Azara anyway, got married there? Now, while it's true, she can't do it. However, there was a kiddushin. The kiddushin act happened. So what if, right, she wasn't allowed to? Okay, so he says there's three possible ways this could happen, and therefore he reestablishes the halacha of Rabbi Meir against Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so what to do with the story? You know, first of all, you see when people get angry, right, they react without really thinking. And Rabbi Yehuda's anger here is not exactly the, you know, looked on positively, and it caused him to kind of, you know, let's say, jump on Sumchus when actually he wasn't. Well, you could argue. You could say, well, why would the Mishnah be giving some halacha that's so rare, even though Rabbi Yossi does find ways to see it? And you see the tension between the rabbis, right? We see all the time Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda arguing. We never see, right, you see, okay, this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that's Rabbi Meir's opinion. Here you see behind the scenes that there was obviously a lot of tension between them, right, because of this whole story. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda was concerned. And there's obviously some history behind that. And not to mention Sumchus, who obviously has an attitude that after Rabbi Yehuda says not to do it, he comes and does it anyway, right? And you see how strongly they felt about halacha. He wanted to make sure that things were established like Rabbi Meir after his death, that you shouldn't, you know, it was sort of out of respect for Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, it wasn't exactly respectful for Rabbi Yehuda. He also didn't need to, you know, Sumchus could have said it somewhere else. He clearly went in front of Rabbi Yehuda to say it, which was embarrassing. Okay, so now we have a braita. We're going to bring a braita about this machlok. At Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda omer mekudeshet, Rabbi Yossi omer ena mekudeshet. So now we see the machloket, because at this point, the machloket is no longer between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. It's between, after Rabbi Meir's death, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yehuda continues along his own line and says mekudeshet. Rabbi Yossi says, like Rabbi Meir, ena mekudeshet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan now says, Shnehem mikra chadarshu. Both of them learned it from the same pasuk. What's the pasuk? V'ze yihyelecha mikodesh hakodeshim min ha'esh. Okay, it's a pasuk about the kodesh kodeshim, and this will be from you, from the kodesh kodeshim, from the fire. Meaning you can eat it after it's burned. Right, Rashi says here, oh no, that's, he says it later, one second, we'll get there. So now Rabbi Yehuda Savar, what does it mean it will be for you? This is going to be for Aharon and his sons, right? What does it mean it will be for you? Lecha l'chol tzrachecha, for anything you need it, Rabbi Yehuda says. Here it says it'll be for you. For you means you can eat it, you can marry a woman with it, whatever you want to do with it. Rabbi Yossi Savar, no, it says min ha'esh. Therefore, it's going to be compared to esh. Ma esh la'achila, af hu nami la'achila. What happens on the esh? The esh burns it, meaning it swallows it, it eats it. Okay, so when you burn something on the fire, it gets totally consumed. Likewise, what is the only thing you can do with Kodesh Kodeshim? You can consume it. That's the only thing you can do with it. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Now we're going to have, so at this point, just to be very clear, we have Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, we're now talking about Kodshi Kodshi. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, Eina Mikudeshen. Rabbi Yossi says, Mikudeshen. So now comes Rabbi Yehuda, comes Rabbi Yochanan, a few generations later, right? First to second generation of Amoraim, and he says, Nimnu v'gamru. The rabbis all got together and they voted, they took a vote, and they established HaMekadesh B'chalko Ben Kodshi Kodshim Ben Kodshim Kalim Lo Kiddush. Okay, they all got together. Okay, now here they're talking, he's talking about an earlier stage. And everyone, including Rabbi Yehuda, changed his mind, basically, is what they're assuming. And everyone agreed that it's Ana Mekudeshet. Okay, I wrote it the opposite here, sorry. Flip it. I wrote here, I don't know what I said, but I wrote it on the board by accident. Rabbi Yehuda says Mekudeshet, Rabbi Yossi says Ana Mekudeshet. Okay, that was my mistake, if I said it wrong, sorry. So now we establish it like Rabbi Yossi and like Rabbi Meir, that Lo Kiddush. The Rav Amar Adayin Hi Machloket. Rav disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan and says, no, Rabbi Yehuda never changed his mind. He always agreed. He always agreed that Mekudeshet. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda didn't change his mind. So there's a Machloket now between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav about whether Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind about this or not. Amar Abaye, Kavateit Rabbi Yochanan Mistabra. Abaye is now going to prove, we're going to have a long brayta, so wait till we get to the end, to prove that even Rabbi Yehuda agreed the Ana Mekudeshet. Okay, that doesn't work. How so? D'tanya, minayin she'en chokim menachot keneged zvachim. Let's say you have, we're now going to talk about all sorts of things that are Kodesh, okay, Kodshim, Kodshim Kalim. We're now going to say, what if you want to swap them with someone? You want to take your mincha and swap it for someone's zevach. Okay? You want to switch around. So, are you allowed to do this? So now what happens? They're now going to say you can't swap most things for other things. We're going to see the list now. They're going to try all sorts of things. Maybe you can switch this for this, and then they're going to say, no, this is different, and that's different. So, minayin she'en chokim minachot keneged zvachim. Remember what minachot are. Minachot are the meal offerings. They're mixed with solet, you know, flour and oil, and they can either, we're going to see soon, they can either be deep fried or fried in a regular frying pan with, you know, less oil. Okay, one comes out obviously harder, right? The one fried in, let's say, call it a griddle, and the one deep fried is going to be softer. So we're going to talk about that soon. But now we want to know, can you swap a mincha for a zeba, for the meat of a korban? So what do they say? Talmud Lomar. Okay, I brought you these psukim on the sheet now. Okay, we're going to darshan these psukim. If you look at pasuk yud, v'chol mincha b'lula b'shemen v'chareva l'chol b'nei Aharon tiyeh ish ka'achiv. Okay, sorry, we should start with pasuk tet. V'chol mincha asher te'afeh b'tanur v'chol na'aseh b'marcheshet. Okay, any mincha that's baked in an oven or is done in the deep fry pan, v'al machavat, right, I think the, forget now which is which. The marcheshet is.
Isn't the
marcheshet
the deep fried one?
So the marcheshet then is the deep fried, and the machavat is the regular frying pan. La goes to the kohen who sacrifices it. Okay, and any mincha that's mixed up with shemen, and I think chareva they've translated as dry, will be for all bnei Aaron ish ka'achiv, him like his brother. So now we're going to darshan all parts of that pasuk. So how do we know that you can't swap a mincha for a zevach? B'chol mincha asher te'afeh b'tanur, l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. Okay, so because of that we learn, it's the mincha has to go to him. It can't be switched. Yochol lo yichalku menachot keneged zvachim, shelo kamu tachtehen bidalut, aval yichalku menachot keneged ofot. So the first drasha we have is you can't switch a mincha for a zevach. So they say, we understand you can't switch a mincha for a zevach. Why? Because if you don't have enough money to afford a zevach, bedalut means in poverty. If you don't have enough money to afford a korban, an animal korban, you can't bring a mincha in place of it. Okay, so therefore, they're going to say, that's the first thing. That's the highest category. Clearly, you can't switch these two. But they say, but maybe, yechakum menachot keneged ofot. Why? Sharei kamu tachtehem bedalut. If you're supposed to bring a bird sacrifice, and you don't have enough money, you can switch it for a mincha, for a flour-based sacrifice. Okay, you can bring a mincha in place of a korban ofot. So maybe if you can swap them, in other words, if in the case where you don't have a korban ha'oth, you can bring a mincha. So therefore, maybe if you're the kohen eating the mincha and someone else has an oath, maybe you could switch it. Let's say you're not in the mood for chicken. So, you know, you say, let's swap stuff. So now, how do we know you can't do that? Talmud lomar, v'chol ha'nasa b'marcheshet l'cho b'nei Aaron tiyeh. And that teaches you that anything made in the marcheshet, the steep fry pan, goes to b'nei Aaron, meaning whoever gets it, you have to eat it. Okay, they're going to darshan because it says this goes to the Kohen, and that goes to the Kohen, and that, you know, because it says each time goes to the Kohen, they're going to darshan more things from it. Yachol lo yichaku menachot keneged ofot. So we understand now, you can't do the menachot for the ofot. Why? Because even though you can switch them, they're going to now say, but what's the difference between them? Shalalo minei damim, v'alalo minei kmachim. Right? Birds have blood in them, right? They're live things, as opposed to kemach, okay, which is not live. Aval, it's like chai and someach, right? One is chai, one is someach. Aval, well, let's try this one. Maybe, if that's the issue, why don't we say, aval yichalku ofo keneged zvachim, shalal avalal minei damim. So let's say you can switch an animal sacrifice for a bird sacrifice. Talmud lamar, al machvat. Okay, because it also adds the al machvat, teaches you an additional thing, that each thing is just for each person and it can't be swapped. Okay, so now they say, Yacholo yichalku ofo keneged zvachim. Fine, so we understand that. Why? Shalalu masehem biyad, v'halalu masehem bikli. One second, I don't remember what this yad and kli is. Oh, right. Do you remember how you do the shechita for the for shechita, you use a knife, right? You kill it with a knife, the animal, but with the malika, remember, you take your finger, your thumb, and you... That's called malika. That's how you shecht. It's not shechting, but that's how you kill the bird with your finger. So one is biyad and one is bikli, and therefore we can't switch them. But what's going to be the obvious one? Maybe you could switch. Aval yichalku menachot kenege menachot. Shalal avalal maseihem biyad. Right? What do? You mix the solet and the shemen, and the right then the shemen. And we have different minachot. There's the marcheshet and there's the machvat. There's the ones that are done in the deep fry and the ones that are done in the griddle. So maybe those you can swap. Those seem pretty similar. They're both someach, right? They have everything else similar about them. So now what do they say? Talmud lomar, v'chol mincha b'lula b'shemen l'chol b'nei Aaron. Because it connects the word that the mincha to the b'nei Aaron, we're going to say you can't do it. So now they're going to say, well, I understand, yachol yachaku machvat keneged marcheshet and marcheshet keneged machvat, shezo maseihem rakim v'zo maseihem kashim. I understand you can't mix the griddle with the deep fry ones, because one is hard and one is soft. Okay, right? Like if you make sufganiyot, right? Donuts. So you put them in a deep fry, they come out very soft. But if you fry something in a frying pan, it's going to come out crispy. Aval yachaku machvat keneged machvat and marcheshet keneged marcheshet. But what could you switch? If you have a mincha that was done to machvat, and you switch it with someone who has the mincha done to machvat, then that should work. So now they're going to say no. Talmud lomar, b'chareva l'chol b'nei Aaron tiyeh. Okay, no. Each thing goes to each person. Whatever you got, that's what you got. Can't start switching around. Yachol lo yichalku b'kodesh ha-kodeshim. Okay, now we're getting finally to our issue. Yachol lo yichalku b'kodesh ha-kodeshim, aval yichalku b'kodeshim kalim. You might have thought that, okay, kodshi kodeshim, you can't start switching around. But kodeshim kalim, since they're less chamor in general, maybe you'll be able to switch them. Talmud lomar, okay, look at the end of the pasuk yud. Ish k'achiv, okay, now jump to pasuk yud bet, okay. One, two pasukim away, it says, im al toda yakrivenu. Now, a korban toda is kodeshim kalim. And now they're going to say, "V'samech le'im al todah, k'shem she'en chokim b'kodshe kodshim, kach en chokim b'kodshim kalim." So now they're going to say, if those few psukim we had in the beginning, Ted and Yud are teaching us, you can't switch around kodshe kodshim, and then right next to it, it talks about kodshim kalim, we're going to say that whatever's true for one is true for the other. Okay. And then they're darshaning ish. Okay, why does it say ish k'achiv? Ish chole afilu balmum. Now we're just learning a different halacha. This has nothing to do with our issue at all. What do we learn from the word ish? That you have to be a gadol to get a portion. Okay, even if you're a Baal Mulam, you still get a portion. Now we're going to say Ish means even a Kohen Baal Mulam still gets a portion of the meat. Ve'en a katan cholek, but not a katan. Okay, only an Ish. Va'filu tam, and even if the katan is not a Baal Mulam, he still doesn't get. So now, what's the point here? Stam safra mane, the stam safra, this is a midrash halacha, okay? And the assumption is, the midrash halacha safra, right? That's the midrash halacha on Sefer Vayikra, which makes sense, that's our issue. Stam safra mane, who is it attributed to? Like a stam mishnah is Rabbi Meir, the stam midrash halacha is Rabbi Yehuda, okay? The midrash halacha from the book of Safra. Vehu ka'amar dileipa din chaluka klal. What does this teach you at the end? That you can't switch around kodshe kodshim or kodshe kalim. So what do you see here? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, can you be mekadesh with kodshe kodshim or kodshim kalim? No, you can't use them for anything else. So what do you see? He must have changed his mind. And if he changed his mind and he holds like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, then what do we say? We're holding like Rabbi Yochanan, who said that in the end, everybody, right, everybody said the same thing. Okay, as opposed to Rav, who didn't think so. Amar Rava, uke Rav milo tanya. He says, wait, but don't we have a braita that supports Rav? Okay, so now the first braita was supporting Rabbi Yochanan. Now he's going to say, but don't we have a braita that supports Rav? V'hatanya, doesn't it say in a braita? Hatznu'im moshchim et yidehem, v'hagar granim cholkim. Those who are tsanua, when it comes to, right, this is whenever you divvy things up, right? There's some people who jump and say, I want the bigger portion. There's some people who sit quietly and wait their turn. So the tsnu'im, when it comes to splitting up, this is the, I think they're talking about the lechem apanim. When they split, yeah, lechem, when they split up the lechem apanim. So the ones who are tsnu'im just sit back and wait. And the gargaranim and the ones who are greedy, they start taking other people's portions. My chokim, right? So what does it mean, chokim? My chokim, isn't chokim chotvim? Doesn't it mean they grab other people's portions? Katane seifa, sorry, that's the end. So now what's the assumption here? If they're chotvim, then what do you learn? If people can grab other people's portions, then you can learn from here that what? That you can use the, you can switch things around. In other words, of course they shouldn't have done it, but if they're doing it, it means, right? In other words, the assumption is that they're good people. It's just they want a little more, so they grab someone else's portion. If they're allowed to do that, well then, it seems that you can use it for other things, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda would hold, this would have to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because it doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir, and therefore you would say that Rabbi Yehuda didn't change his mind, and that is like Rav, who thinks that Rabbi Yehuda didn't change his mind, and you can actually share the portions. So now they say no. That's not really, yes, it's true they were chotvim, but kitakatani seifa, like it says at the end of that braita, ma'ase be'echad shechatav chelko v'chelek chavero, bayu korin oto ben chamtzan ad yom moto. Okay, they called him a bad name, like you're a thief, you're taking other people's stuff. Meaning that people did this and it was frowned upon. It was not only was it not so nice, but it was he was called a gazlan. In other words, he wasn't allowed to take the other portion. It wasn't he was allowed to. Okay? And therefore, we don't have a proof for Rav, and we're left with Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Yehuda must have really changed his mind. Now we're going to just see two psukim that show that a chamtzan is someone who steals. Amar Rabbi Bar of Shila, my crow, what's the pasuk where you see what a chamtzan is? Elohai paltani miyad resha mikaf ma'ul v'chometz. Okay? Save me from the evil people, right? From the people who are mo'el and chometz. Okay? So they assume chometz is obviously something bad. Rabbi Amar Mehacha, Rabbi says, well, let's learn it from here. Limdu heitev, your shumishpat, okay, learn well and look for righteousness. Ishru chamutz, and be good to the one who was oppressed, who someone stole from, okay? He's the chamutz, not the chometz. The chometz is someone who does it. The chamutz is someone it was done to. Okay, tov. So that was all, again, like, just to summarize, we had Rabbi Yehuda disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda saying, you can't be mekudeshet. Then Rabbi Yochanan and Rav disagreeing about whether Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind or not. Okay, and we've basically proven that Rabbi Yehuda did change his mind, and therefore everyone in the end agrees that, at least according to the assumption of the Gemara, that you cannot use kodshe kodshim or kodshim kalim for marriage purposes. And if you look at the Mishnah itself, the Mishnah seems to support that, because the Mishnah, if you look back, it says I'm a kadesh b'chalko ben kodesh kodesh ben kodesh kalim ain't a mekudeshet, and it doesn't say Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Okay? So it could be Rabbi Yehuda disagreed at some point. By the time they put the Mishnah together, right, in the time of Rabbi, already he didn't disagree, and that's why Rabbi didn't put it in. Okay, now we move to Maser Sheni. Maser Sheni, Bein B'Shogeg, Bein B'Mezid Lo Kideish, Diva Rabbi Meir. Right, so either which way, Maser Sheni can't be, you can't marry someone with it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shogeg Lo Kideish, Mezid Kideish. So now the Gemara says, Minani Mile. Where do we learn this from? We're really focusing right now on Rabbi Meir. They don't really talk about Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara explicitly. Minani Mile. Where do you learn this from? We'll see. They get to him actually a little bit later. They do talk about it. But the assumption here is that the machloket is, let's read inside, Amar Rav Acha Barei de Rav Mishmei de Gemara. Mishmei de Gemara means that there was a Masoret. Okay, he said in the name of a Masoret. Right, usually he says in the name of someone. Here he just says it was a tradition. B'chol ma'aser ha'aretz, mizer ha'aretz, mipri ha'etz, okay, all the ma'aser, and the assumption is that these psukim are talking about ma'aser sheni. I'm not going to get into the details, but the next pasuk says, if you're poded, you add a chomesh, and the assumption is that's the only ma'aser that we do pidyon with, so it must be talking about ma'aser sheni there. So the ma'aser, it says, la'ashem hu, kodesh la'ashem. So what do they say? They're going to darshan, la'ashem hu, v'lo l'kadesh bo'isha. Because it says it's for Hashem, so it's for Hashem. That means it's mamon gavoa, which we call, okay? That's the difference, mamon gavoa or mamon hedyot. So if it belongs to Hashem, well, then obviously you can't marry a woman with it. So now they say, wait a minute. Just because it says la'ashem hu, why do we assume that that means it's for Hashem? We have other psukim of other things that it says la'ashem, and we know that we can marry a woman with it. So let's see. Hare trumat ma'aser. Okay, truma, which here's the truma that comes from the ma'aser, which is the levi has to take from his ma'aser, truma to the kohen. When it comes to truma ma'aser, what does it say? Dichtiv, kein tarimu gamatem, trumat Hashem. There it says, Hashem, utnan, and we know from the Mishnah, hamakadesh b'truma mekudeshet. If you makadesh a woman with truma, it works. So now what do we say? Notice what it said there, trumat Hashem. It didn't say la'ashem hu, right? Delok tibe la'ashem. Okay, it says Hashem, not la'ashem. So now they say, what about, okay, so you didn't like this, it said Hashem, not la'ashem. But I'll give you a case where it says la'ashem. Varechala dechtiv ba titnu la'ashem. When it comes to chala, it says give to God. Utnan. And chala is considered also truma. Hamekadesh b'truma, mekudeshet. And it says, if you're mekadesh b'truma, you're mekudeshet. So, seems that la'ashem shouldn't be the issue. So now what do they say? Delok tiv be'kodesh, right? What did it say? La'ashem hu, right? Said kodesh la'ashem, right? La'ashem hu, kodesh la'ashem. So because it says la'ashem and kodesh, that's what proves it. They say, no, that doesn't work either. When it comes to Perot Shvi'i, Dichtiba, Yovel Hu, Kodesh Yelachem. Now, even though this passage is talking about Yovel, they're equating, often Yovel is similar to Shemitah, right? Because the same halachot apply in Yovel, and it's all of Huchot Shemitah apply in the Yovel year. So therefore, they're assuming this is also a Perot Shvi'i. It says, Kodesh Yelachem. And there you see Kodesh. And we know, right? What did we learn already? We learned this yesterday. Utnana makadesh b'perot shvi mikudeshet, right? If you use perot shvi, it works. And yet that says kodesh. So what's the obvious? Tuloksi b'lashem. It only says kodesh. It doesn't say lashem. So because it says kodesh and lashem together, and it doesn't appear anywhere else, that should work. Not really, because hare truma dichtiv kodesh Yisrael lashem reshit tfuato. Now, this is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. This is not like the other pasukim where it's talking about the mitzvot of that halacha. What's this pasuk? This is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which is really saying, okay, this is after the pasuk, Lechtech acharai b'midbar. Okay, it says, Yisrael is kodesh la'ashem, they're reshit fuata, they're compared to truma. They're like the first, the precious ones of God. Okay, so it's really talking about B'nai Israel. But they say, it's referencing truma, because it says reshit fuato. And it says la'ashem, kodesh la'ashem, and yet v'hare v'tznan ha'makadesh b'truma mekudeshet. So now the Gemara answers, what are you talking about? Who be Israel k'tiv? That pasuk is talking about Israel. That's not talking about truma. It's comparing them to truma.
Gemara says, no, I disagree with that. V'lav mimei l'shmat mina. In other words, if it's comparing B'nai Yisrael to Truma, it's saying you're like Truma, and what does it call them? Kodesh l'Hashem. So it's basically assuming then, if it's making a metaphor here, so Truma is Kodesh l'Hashem, and therefore it should be treated. You can't say that Kodesh l'Hashem, so now after this whole mahalach, we're now rejecting the fact that the words Kodesh l'Hashem mean that you can't use it to be Mekadesh a woman. Okay? That you can't use it to be Mekadesh a woman. Because we now prove him by Truma, you can be Mekadesh a woman, and it's called Kodesh l'Hashem. So now we have a different explanation. Rav and Saba, Kamedu Rav, Amar. Amar Kra. He says, the Pasuk says, who? Remember it said, l'Hashem who? So what does that mean? Behavayato Yehei. It will stay as it is, meaning it will stay in its status of Kodesh, and you can't remove it from that status and use it for something else. Okay, so that in the end they say, that's where Rabbi Meir proves it. Okay, now we're going to move on to Hekdesh, but in the discussion of Hekdesh, we're going to get back to this Maaser Sheni of Rabbi Yehuda. Ubehekdesh, b'mezi kidesh, b'shogeg lo kidesh, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, b'shogeg kidesh, b'mezi lo kidesh. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov now says, Shma mina de Rabbi Yochanan tarte. Rabbi Yochanan derived from here three things. Shigigat maaser de Rabbi Yehuda. Shigigat hekdesh de Rabbi Meir. Okay, the shigigat maaser of Rabbi Yehuda is equated to the shigigat hekdesh of Rabbi Meir. Shnehem ein isha mitkadeshet behem. Okay, and in both of them, a woman can't get married by them. Now, what does he say though? I learned about this two things, okay, but I don't know which goes to which. One of them is Lefisha Ein Isha Rotza, okay, it's because the woman doesn't want this. V'chada Lefisha Ein Shnehem Rotzim. Remember, when it comes to marriage, you have to have consent of both sides. So one of these doesn't work, right? We're now talking about, if you look at your chart, the Maaser Sheni B'Shogeg of Rabbi Yehuda and the Hekdesh B'Shogeg of Rabbi Meir. Both of them agree that it's Lokidesh. One of them because the woman doesn't want it, and the other one because neither of them. It's not in either of their best interests. So now, I did the chart according to one understanding. But we'll see that there's an understanding that flips it. Okay, so now he says, V'lo yadana heminayhu. I don't know which is which. I'm a Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya comes and says, Nefze anan. We can come and see and we can figure it out. It's very simple. Maser ihi lo nichala mishum tircha de orcha. Let's say you marry a woman with maser sheni. So what are you basically doing? You're giving her fruits. So what does she have to do with them? The only thing she can do with them is eat them in Yerushalayim. What a headache for her, right? She now has to go to Yerushalayim. She has to poda them onto a coin. She has to go to Yerushalayim and eat them there. That's a headache for her, right? Or even if he gives her the money from the maser sheni, she still has to take it to Yerushalayim to spend it. Okay? That's a headache. Ihu nichale. But for him, it's totally convenient. Because in any case, this was money that he had that he could only spend in Yerushalayim. So now he spent it on her, and he doesn't have to deal with the fact that he has to go to Yerushalayim to eat it. Ela hekdesh travaya lo nichale. But hekdesh is no good for either of them. Why? Did not kill hekdesh al yadayhu. Because what if they're going to use the hekdesh for maaser sheni? How does this work at all, hekdesh? Because what happens if you use hekdesh for something chol? What happens? Your chayiv, let's say you do it b'shogeg, okay? Your chayiv me'ila, right? You have to bring a korban now. But what happens to the hekdesh itself? The hekdesh becomes chulin. You've switched it into chulin, okay? We're going to see whether this only works b'mezi. If you did it b'shogeg, okay, the machloket, part of the machloket is going to be between them is going to be what happens in me'ila b'mezid. Okay, we talked about that the din me'ila is basically b'shogeg. So if you do it b'shogeg, okay, when the Torah talks about me'ila, it's talking about shogeg. Rabbi Meir is going to say it's also true for mezid. But if you take something that was hekdesh and you use it b'shogeg for something else, so the item, right, what happened? You took this item, I said I'm bringing this to the Beit HaMikdash, this marker. Okay, so now it has hekdesh status. If I then decide to use it for some other purpose, say I sell it to someone, I forget that I sold it, that person bought it, now it's chulin. Okay, it switches. Just like I made it hekdesh, I now made it chulin. Now, what has to happen? You have to give the value of it plus the chomesh to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, and if you did me'ila, b'shogeg, you have to bring a korban. So, nobody really wants to do this. It's not in either of their best interests to turn this chulin this hekdesh into chulin. It's an avera. Nobody wants to have that on their hands. So therefore, this one is not nicha for anybody. Rabbi Yaakov Amar, okay, that was Rabbi Yirmiyah Shita. He assumed, like I put in the chart, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's not, the Master Sheni isn't good for her. And that's why Lo Kidesh, because she doesn't have her consent, she doesn't want to get married with that. And according to Rabbi Meir, the Hekdesh doesn't work with Shogeg because nobody wants that to happen. Rabbi Yaakov Amar, Ibcha Mistaper. No, it's actually the reverse. Milo I Kalamemar, Master Ihilo Nichale Mishum Tircha de Orcha. And Iuloni Chalemishum Unsa de Orcha. It's not convenient for him either, because what happens? If I marry a woman, or a man marries a woman, gives her money, so she's immediately married. In a case where she can't benefit from the money immediately, she can only benefit from the money once she gets to Yerushalayim, the Kiddushin isn't Chal until she gets to Yerushalayim. Now what's going to happen if something happens on the way? Lots of things could happen on the way. Imagine also, let's put it into these terms. Here's the woman, her husband isn't going because we already said it's a headache for him. So she goes to Yerushalayim by herself, right? Who knows what could happen to her on the way? A woman by herself, you know, she's a target. So if something, even if you don't say that though, right? Something could still happen on the way. She could lose it. She could get robbed. Okay? Then he ends up, he has to remarry her with other money. He's lost his money. So basically, it's not such a good thing for him either. Ela hekdesh, but hekdesh, for her, we understand. It's not so convenient, right? She's basically taking this hekdesh and using it for chol purposes. But ela ihu milo nichale denikne itita mimela. But isn't it good for him? Because in the end, he can't use this hekdesh for anything else anyway. So isn't it okay for him that his wife got married through this money? Okay, now, obviously, there's a bit of a problem here because if... he has this hekdesh. Let's say I put this marker to hekdesh. He has no use for it now. So at least now he got to use it for his wife to marry her. However, what's the problem? The problem is he still has to pay a knas, right, for the fact that he did this. But they say, okay, Rashi says this. If you look at Rashi for a second, he says, "Va'afal pisha alav l'shalem lehekdesh, hashta mia nichale." It's still convenient for him. Why? Shema ein lo mishalo achshav klum. Let's say he doesn't have money to marry her right now. So what does he do? He gives her something, this hekdesh, and then, so yes, down the road, he's going to have to pay a knas for this. It's almost like when you take out a loan. So eventually you'll pay back more money, but at this point it's convenient for you because you need the money now. So therefore, we can find a case, it's still a little complicated, it's not every case, but he's trying to say, you can't necessarily say it's that way because you could also argue the point that it's the opposite, that the hekdesh is dafka nichaleh, because maybe he needs the money. So therefore, we're back to saying we don't really know which is which, whether the hekdesh was the one that's lo nicha to both, or the master sheni was the one that was lo nichaleh to either one, and which was the one that was nicha only to one. Convenient for one, not convenient for the other. Okay, either which way, it doesn't really matter, because whether it's, you follow, the conclusion is the same. It's just a matter of what's the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda for Master Sheni and Rabbi Meir for Shogeg. Both of them agree that at least for one person it's not convenient and they wouldn't want it, and that's why the marriage doesn't work. Okay, that's the concept, and that's why Shogeg is different from Mazik. Because Shogeg, we're assuming, because of the din of Me'ila, one of them isn't going to want it. But that's only B'Shogeg. Okay, but if you did it B'Mazik, so let's go to Rabbi Meir now. What does Rabbi Meir say? So look at them in both cases. So Rabbi Yehuda said, let's just go through all the cases now. Maser Sheni, so let's go back to the chart. Okay, Rabbi Meir says, Shogeg or Mezid, it doesn't work, and that's obvious because it's all Mamon Gavoa, so it's never going to work. Rabbi Yehuda says, in a case of Mezid, it's Mamon Hedyo, so it works. In the case of Shogeg, it doesn't work because it's not convenient for the woman, and she won't agree to such a thing. If it was Mazid and she agreed to it, right? Now, the whole idea is Shogeg is she didn't realize. And then it turns out she finds out later and she's like, oh my God, I never would have done this had I known I had to eat this in Yerushalayim. If she agreed to it, because it was Mazid and they knew at the time it was Maser Sheni, well then she agreed to it and it was Mamon Hedyot, so it works. Now let's go to the other side, to Hekdesh. So when it comes to Rabbi Meir, so what does he say? Shogeg, it doesn't work because either lo nichaleh to one or lo nichaleh to both, because they're turning hekdesh into chol, and they didn't realize. So obviously when they realize, they're going to say, oh, I never would have done this, knowing I was doing an avera. But if they did a b'mezid, so they knew they were doing an avera, and according to Rabbi Meir, and here's where Rabbi Meir is going to disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't say this, but the Mefreshim talk about this, that b'mezid, it works because he thinks that even though Dine Me'ila talk about it, that it turns into chol, it talks about it in a shoge case, he thinks that the same would be true if you did a b'mezid. If you, b'mezid, take some item that you are makdish and you use it for chol, you basically turned it into chol. Okay, it's usher for you to do it, but the item is now chol, chulim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. And he thinks that you haven't turned it into chulin, and therefore, okay, we're going to skip the first one, we're going to go to the second one now. Therefore, in a mezid case, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? It doesn't turn into chulin, in which case? It's hekdesh, in which case you can't use it to marry a woman. Okay, whereas in the Maaser Sheni case, he thought Maaser Sheni's mamon hedyo, but hekdesh is mamon gavoa, and you can't, if you did it b'mezid, it doesn't switch. And when it comes to shogeg, what does he say? If you're moal b'shogeg, so it's yotzei l'chulin, and therefore you can be makadesh by it. Okay? So now, we're going to have another question. B'aminei Rav Chiya bar Avin me Rav Chista. B'mecher mai. If you sell it, what happens? Amar lei, af b'mecher lo kana. In other words, we were talking about if you did it to marry someone. What if you sold someone? Okay, so now they're saying the same would be true for a mecher that you wouldn't be kone. Okay, that the same way you can't do kiddushin, it's also not kone. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with this tomorrow.